Too many would wonder. After we've eaten. There's bread and there's eggs, and everyone is about their own business. Then we could walk to the river and talk together, yes?
Okay, Nathan. He wondered whether he should ask him about the horse he'd heard leaving the village during the night, but decided it wasn't worth it. The bread was newly baked, crusty and delicious, its top covered with small crisp seeds that burst with flavor. The eggs were scrambled with butter and a mix of herbs. Even Jack Lauren, who was not normally a sturdy trencherman so early in the morning, devoured three helpings, wiping grease from his chin and looking longingly at the platter that crackled and spat over the open fire with more eggs.
Fucking good.
He earned a reproof from the middle-aged woman who'd been serving the breakfast. She rapped him over the back of the head with a heavy wooden ladle.
A loose tongue is an affront to an honest woman.
Where is this fucking honest woman?
By the blessed Ryan, I'll...
She then put her hand over her mouth and turned away from them, gathering her long skirts and darting into one of the huts. The four friends sat in silence, looking at one another.
Hear that, Mr. Toesby? Hear what that old crone said?
Ryan nodded slowly. Somehow, it didn't surprise him. He knew from plenty of other primitive double-poor Deathlands communities that odd religions were the norm. If Harvey Carter was the obscene tyrant he seemed, it made a kind of bizarre sense that some of the older locals might still cherish the name of the vanished son. It was something he needed to think about, and maybe talk to Nathan Freeman about. Ryan stood and went to join him. They sat side by side on the bank of the narrow, twisting river. Nathan had said that it didn't have a name. It was just the river. That was all it had ever been. As there was only the one, it didn't need to be called anything. The water gurgled over round moss-green stones, forming small pools where delicate silverfish weaved and darted. Ryan watched them, leaning back against the sun-warmed bole of a toppled beech tree.
Good feeling, Nate.
Not many of those within a country mile of Front Royal and the Carters. Father, mother, and devil brat.
Tell me about the Ville and the Carters. I don't know this region well.
Don't you, Master Thursby? Sure about that, are you?
Of course. You lived here all your life?
Yeah. Father was a local man. My mother came to Shearsville when I was around 3 years old. I never rightly found where we'd been till then. Traveling some was all she'd tell me. Died when I was still a boy. Neighbors raised me.
The Carters?
Run the Ville since the long winter, so the oldsters say. Old Baron died around 20 years back. Whispers tell of his being choked by Lady Rachel, but there were three brothers. One good, one bad, and one that just up and vanished, Master Thursby. I'll come to him last. There was Morgan, who was everything good, murdered by Harvey, who now runs the Ville, who's every evil you could set your mind to. A gross and perverted bastard who shadows the earth he waddles over. Married a slut Rachel. One son, Jabez Pendragon Carter. Has every stinking, rotten part of both his parents in him. I can't... Now, there aren't words for someone like him.
The other brother?
Ryan Carter. 15 when he disappeared. Word was of an attempt on his life. That left him... Swift and vengeful boy, they say. Some think him rotting in the moat like many another. But a lot of honest folks still think that one day he'll come riding in from the west on a stallion of pure white. He'll slaughter the Carters, take back the Ville, and the sunshine days will come again to all in the Shens. What do you think of that, Master Thursby?
What do you think about this missing brother, Master Freeman?
I think that I believe some things, and not others, you know?
What?
I believe he escaped. I believe he lives. I don't believe in the dreck about the white stallion or a blaster that fires golden ammo. Hell no.
I've also heard a tale, Master Freeman.
Tell me.
The young man picked up a handful of dried cones from a nearby pine tree and flicked them underhanded into the water, staring after them as they bobbed and leapt through the shallows and falls of the narrow river. Nathan kept his face turned away from Ryan.
Morgan Carter, they say, had a woman, and the woman bore a child after the death of her husband. Murdered, we agree, by Harvey. A son, I heard. The mother was Mutie.
She was...
The young man's pale face flushed, dark eyes glaring. He threw the rest of the cones into the water with a barely controlled viciousness.
She was what? I heard she was a woman with the power of seeing. If there had been a son, could he have inherited that? Perhaps he did.
They say that Ryan Carter was desperate wounded when he fled the Ville.
Do they?
They say that a blade from Harvey's fist took out an eye, neat as a stone from a ripe plum. So they say, and opened a cut that ran from eye to mouth along the right side of the boy's cheek.
Then he turned and looked straight into Ryan's good eye, a fierce intensity in his glittering black eyes. Neither man spoke for several heart-stopping seconds. The moment broke into shards of crystal time as a voice wafted to them from the trail that led to the village.
Nate, you there?
Yeah.
Seen Tom?
No. Saw him late last night, not this morning. Why do you...
Miss it. Horse gone and all.
Ryan felt the short hairs rising on the back of his neck, the familiar warning of imminent danger. Sitting close to the young man, he was aware of Nathan's whole body tensing and stiffening.
We've...
I heard it.
The horse? The bastard's gone to the Ville.
There was a cold horror in Nathan's blank, shocked face.
A couple of hours after midnight. Heard it leave, didn't hear anything more.
Freeman stood up, uncoiling with an easy grace.
You heard it? By all the gods, Ryan! Didn't you feel it? Didn't you see it?
Ryan also stood, hardly noticing in the sudden dreadful tension that Nathan had admitted he was indeed part mutie. And he had called him Ryan. He knew him. And in turn, Ryan realized his own guess was correct. He knew who Nathan Freeman was.
Morgan's son. You're the son of my brother. Your mother was Gwenema. I'm your uncle, lad.
Hell, I guess I knew that all along, Uncle Ryan. But now's not the time. Gotta move, and fast.
We've been betrayed?
Tom, always wanted to be sect chief of Shuresville. Guess he'll get his way now.
When will they come, Nate?
The water was covering their conversation from the villagers standing a few paces behind them.
They're here.
What? Fireblast, we've...
Nathan Freeman laid a hand on his arm.
Too late. Now I'm concentrating, I can hear them. Lotus sect men, on all sides. They'll take you, even in a firefight. Listen, I can make it through the woods. Get to the old man and the straw-head girl. To your wag. Are the blasters there?
Yeah, couple.
I know paths and ways. I'll do what I can, Ryan. Don't fight. Harvey and Rachel aren't muties. Won't expect you. Won't think it's you, maybe. Play Floyd Thursby. Stick to your story. Could get away. Watch Rachel. More, watch Jabez. Warn others. Me and the other two will do what we can, when we can.
Ryan's fighting mind was racing. He still hadn't heard any sound of a sec patrol closing in on them, but he'd seen enough of mutie skills in his life to know that his nephew was probably telling the truth. There'd been a blind listener up in the high plains who could hear a kerchief of satin fall on soft earth at 200 yards.
Yeah. Don't charge in after us. If we can fool them, we could get away free. Foolish to lose lives for nothing. Wait and listen, Nate. That's the best.
Then Ryan heard them, horse-mounted sec men clattering along the main blacktop through Shuresville. He knew they'd be good mounts. Front Royal had always been famed for the quality of its horses. Right back to the time before the long winter.
Gotta go. I just meet the man I dreamed of for 20 fucking years, and we got a part.
Watch your back, Nate.
Ryan quickly shook hands with his nephew. The grip was brief but firm. The young man leapt at the river, balancing for a moment on a large flat stone near the center, then hopped to another, smaller stone. With a splash, he reached the opposite bank. Pausing for a second and waving a hand to Ryan, he then disappeared into the dense screen of bushes. Ryan turned away to make his way back to Shuresville, where the sec men were already in control. For a moment, Ryan's head whirled, and he felt himself transported back to his 15th year, battling for his life in a blood-slippery passageway in the stone heart of the Ville. The uniforms of the sec men were unaltered, maroon jerkins with breeches tucked into high boots. They wore helmets that hugged the skull, and some wore goggles. They were armed with the same M16 assault rifles that Ryan also remembered well enough from his childhood. Trusty weapons that had served the barony well over the years since the endless chilling. Christy, Jack, and JB stood in a group outside the barn, surrounded by at least 30 of the guards. The sec man, Tom, preened himself nearby. He was grinning broadly, chest out like a little pigeon, bursting with pride at his own achievement. The leader of the sec guards was a sergeant, tall and with shoulders nearly as broad as the doors on the barn. He saw Ryan coming toward him and grinned.
Hurry up, one eye. Well, that's four plucked and two to go.
Where's Nathan Freeman?
Who?
You know, you bastard. Make him tell, Sergeant Man.
Baron says you get to be sec chief of this dung heap until someone better comes along. So zip that mouth of yours or I'll shut it. I decide what happens.
And what's that, Sergeant? We're travelers who only arrived in the Shens a day ago. We hope to move on.
Came in a wag, did you?
Yes.
Where? Where's the wag?
Ran dry way back north. Dumped it. No chance of gas around here?
Not for the likes of you, scum. Baron controls all gas for 50 miles around.
Why are you here with this army?
Old Runt said you was armed and dangerous. Said there was two more of you, old man and a pretty little girl. True?
Do we look dangerous? Our two friends have gone to try to make their way back to the wag, but we fear they might be lost in the forest.
The sec sergeant's smile vanished.
Don't waste all that fucking charm on me, sister. I got my cock and balls blown off by an old anti-personnel mine 10 years back. Don't fuck a lot now. We'll get moving.
The patrol snapped to attention and began to shepherd Ryan and his companions toward the road, where they saw a couple of horse-drawn wagons with barred sides and roof, obviously built to accommodate prisoners. As he passed Tom, Ryan whispered to the man,
"One night, you'll feel cold steel in your groin."
The sec man turned as white as a sheet and tottered, hand going to his heart. Ryan smiled at him as they were led into the wagons. The three men were put in the first cart, Christy in the second one. The sky threatened rain. The air felt cool and damp, and the breath of the horses hung about them like fog. They could see mist filling the hollows on the other side of the wide valley, leaving only the tips of the trees emerging from the pale blue haze. The sergeant was at the head of the convoy, followed by a dozen mounted sec men. Then came the cart with the men, and a dozen more troopers, followed by the wagon with Christy, and another dozen horsemen at the rear. Oddly, there had been no attempt made to disarm them. Ryan had seen the eyes of the sergeant home in on the butt of the Six Sauer, but it remained in its holster. He guessed they would lose their arms when they reached the Ville. For Ryan, it was a journey deeper into his own past. Every rattling turn of the wheels brought him closer to the Ville. Every now and again, he'd recognize some bridge or building or turn of the road. Once, a massive wild boar thundered across the trail, making half the horses rear and whinny, throwing a couple of the sec men. Its eyes were vicious rubies, and Ryan saw fresh blood on its curved tusks. They also passed more signs of the tyranny of Baron Cawdor and his family. 8 corpses, one in chains at a crossroads gibbet, not a shred of flesh remaining on the dry bones, 3 on makeshift gallows, 1 a woman.